Well, good morning, everybody. It is truly, truly, truly a great day to celebrate. Amen?
Amen.
That's my heart this morning. That's a word. If I could pick a word that defines today, it is the word, let's party. Wait, is that too... I've never excelled in math. It's no big deal. Today is a day to celebrate. Amen? We have a lot of reasons to celebrate. Of course, first and foremost, as has already been shared, is what Jesus did. We celebrate because of what Jesus did on our behalf. That is the ultimate reason to celebrate. We were lost, folks, and Jesus saved us and he found us. Amen?
Amen.
So today we're here to celebrate. And one other thing we have to celebrate. This weekend we had a rummage sale. And this was not your grandma's rummage sale, okay? God bless that one, but this was different. We had a Bayside rummage sale that actually made the news. I don't know if you saw that, but Fox 21 came out and did a piece on this rummage sale. We had two families that were adopting, and we've been talking a lot about adoption, and we had a full-fledged rummage sale that filled up all of the fellowship hall and the foyer and even went out into the parking lot a little bit. And here's the good news they had a goal. They had this goal of what they wanted to raise through this rummage sale, and they almost doubled it. Praise the Lord. So we need to thank the Lord for that. That takes these two families, the McCotters and the Lemasters, and it takes them that much closer to adoption, which is an expensive proposition. And so praise the Lord, we were able to raise good funds. And it was just a great time. And so special thanks to everybody. That was a large team effort. Thanks to everybody who was a part of that rummage sale. Today, of course, again, celebration party. We have a baptism. We are going to celebrate with, I don't know the exact final number, a dozen or so folks that have decided to follow Jesus and be baptized this morning. So another reason to celebrate. And then we're gonna cap this whole thing off with a party outside as long as it doesn't rain. All right. So just keep praying throughout the service. No, I think it's going to be okay. We're going to party and we're going to celebrate together as one family. And what a cool thing. Let me just tell you, it is awesome to see all of you in one service from this perspective. This is a unique thing. We don't get this every week. And so what a cool blessing and a privilege. And enjoy this, okay? Just enjoy all that this day is. And it is a day to celebrate and a day to party. So anyway, we are glad that you are here. I want to begin with two questions. And I want you to think about these two questions this morning as we move along through this day. Okay, the first question is this. What do you think God's heart is for those who don't know him yet? What do you think God's heart is? How does God's heart beat for people who don't know and haven't trusted in Jesus? I want you to just think about that. What is his heart? And then I want you to think, what is your heart? What is my heart for those same folks? How does my heart beat for those who don't know Jesus yet? And there may be some of us this morning, and that's totally fine. We are all in that place at one point in our life. We are all folks who didn't know Jesus intimately, and some of us have trusted in Christ. Amen?
Amen?
Yeah. But we've all been at that place in our life of where we didn't know Jesus intimately yet. And I want us to think about those two questions. How do you think God feels and thinks of those folks? And then how do you and I feel and think about those folks? We have some special guests this morning. You are all a part of the special guests this morning, but we have some really special people, and they came all the way from Chicago this morning to be with us. And it is my very good friend, Pastor Tom Kennington, and his wife, Faith, and a really awesome group of young folks that we've been hanging out with all weekend from the South Chicago Christian Center. So if you all, we want to welcome you, okay, and I hope this isn't embarrassing, or would you all please stand and we could welcome these friends from Chicago? Okay, so you can hear, for the record, we like you, all right? Tom and Faith, come on up. These two, you guys can sit down if you'd like. You can stand if you want. You can, you know, we got some freedom here. But Tom has been a friend of mine. He was my pastor for many years and had a very influential time in my life when I shared the vision for Bayside and Duluth. And I talked about Pastor Tom coming and bringing the group from Chicago and how deeply impactful that time 1 year ago was for me, and then think of everything that the Lord did is very significant. And so he is one of those milestone mentor men that really honestly changed my life. Okay, my life is not the same in a very good way. Just go on record to say my life is better because of our friendship. And so we're really excited to have you guys here. Pastor Tom is going to, we're going to kind of do a little mini message together in just a little bit. But these guys have given their lives now to the young folks of South Chicago. And they have a center called the South Chicago Christian Center. Is that right? I think we have a picture of a few. There we are. And that's kind of in the backyard, right? And the fence, and we got the hoop. And you guys are open almost every day and just loving and ministering to these young folks and some old as well, just people in South Chicago. And this is an amazing ministry that started about 3 years ago. And I asked Faith if she would. I've been getting to know Tom's wife, Faith, and also just love her, and you will as well if you get to know her. But will you share just a few minutes on what you guys do a little bit? No, you're staying here. Don't. Come on. You were my pastor, all right? Stay here. Okay, there you go. Now share a little bit with us of what happens regularly. And first of all, we are so happy to have you guys here. Okay, this is a blessing. Now, share a little bit about the South Chicago Christians.
Okay. Well, thank you for inviting us. And I want to say just a big thank you. Thank you. And thank you for your hospitality, especially Kevin and Sherry. And I forget your name, Bunny and Neil. Is that correct? Neil and Bunny. And Alvin and Mr. Ron for hosting us and members of our groups in your home. So thank you. Thank you, and thank you again for our accommodations. They are wonderful. And thank you all for hosting us here and letting us be a part of your body as members of Christ. What we do in the South Chicago Christian Center. I don't know how many of you have heard of Chirac. You all know that, maybe you don't know that Spike Lee is doing a movie in Chicago, and it's about the shootings in Chicago. So we live in a small corner of the southeast side of Chicago, and unfortunately, we're in the heart of some violence in our community, and so God has caused his light to shine in a very dark corner of the city of Chicago, and so we're grateful for that because God is able. There's nothing too hard for him, and we thank him for that. What we do is we, on Mondays, we have a women's Bible study. On Tuesdays, we open up in the evening for community prayer for anyone who wants to come in and help us pray for our community. And then on Thursdays, we have a food pantry. One of the suburban churches, about an hour and a half away from us, they allow us to have some of their food. So what's left over after their community is takes what they want, and then they let us have the rest, and we bring it to our community, and it's always a huge blessing. And so we have that food pantry on Thursday afternoons, and then we cook. We cook because we offer a meal, a free community meal, to anyone in the community who would take advantage of it. And so far, we've fed about 8,000 people in the years that we've been open. So that's a huge blessing. Thank you. And then after dinner, anyone who wants to stay and study the Bible with us is welcome to stay. So we have the Bible study also on Thursday. And then on Saturday night, we have a weekly Saturday night worship service, and we also serve a meal there. So we have that on Saturday night. And then Sunday mornings, we visit churches. We take our youth, our young people, around to churches and have service, and then they play basketball. And then they have lunch before we take them home. So we have a very busy weekly schedule. And apart from that, on top of that, what anchors us is a thrift shop. And we accept donations from anywhere and everywhere of usable household furniture, clothing, bikes, grills, whatever, you know. And so we offer it to the community at very, very reduced prices to help us stay in operation. And that's been going pretty good so far. In addition to that, we have annual events every year in the winter. We give out coats, blankets, shoes, hats, gloves, scarves, whatever you need for winter. And then we also have annual holiday meals. And so we send out an almost monthly newsletter where we try to raise funds to help make the people aware and ask for donations as well. So we thank you for letting us come and talk about what we do.
Stay here. Stay here. We are so excited that you came. Number one, will you show everybody your hair? Because Kevin Breen did this morning. He did. It is beautiful. It is beautiful. We want to pray.
The best part is there's not hardly a minute she got out of bed and it was like this. And
yeah.
So it's awesome not waiting for her.
Right. And on the other hand, your hair, that just doesn't happen.
No bad hair days.
No bad hair days. Okay. We want to pray for the South Chicago Christian Center before we jump into the Word for a little bit this morning. We want to pray for them. I also want to encourage you that if you would like to support them in any way, if your heart is touched for the folks and the young people in South Chicago, they could use it. This is a ministry of faith. Tom didn't even know until a day before he came up here if he was going to be able to have the money to come up here. Do you see what I'm saying? This is a daily step by faith, walking by faith. So please continue to keep them in your prayers. We're going to pray for them. And if your heart is touched to support them in any way, get in touch with them. If you don't connect with them this morning, you can connect with me and I'll help you get in touch with them, okay? Wonderful ministry. Let's pray for them that God continues to bless this really important work on the south part of Chicago. Let's pray. Father, we come to you. And again, we are thankful. I am thankful for this couple, God, that has stepped out, that has absolutely went into a part of our world, a part of our country, God, that there is so much need, Father. And Lord, you said you want your light to shine into all the places. And Father, I thank you that their light is shining. I thank you that they're providing meals, that they are providing some opportunities, job opportunities, that they are providing, God, ultimately the hope of Jesus. Amen. And I pray, God, that mission, your mission, God, of going into all the world and making disciples would happen at the South Chicago Christian Center. Give these folks provision in every way, Father. Give them love, an overwhelming yes. amount of love that pours into the hearts of the people that they love and that they serve. And Father, we just pray that we could, Bayside, could be a part of this ministry in some way and continue to see that grow, Father, as their ministry grows. So I thank you for them, bless them, and I pray all of this now in Jesus' name. We all said,
Amen.
Faith, thank you. Thomas, you stay here. We're gonna talk through a little passage of scripture this morning. Now, the one other cool thing is in about a month, we are going to be sending a group of about 20 Baysiders down to Chicago and to be at their place for about a week. And we'll tell you a little bit more about that. But we're excited to be coming down and spending some time now with you guys as well. So
we are very excited about that. And always people are concerned about safety. And I want to encourage you that it's a very strange thing as we live on the next street. And yet the street where the center is, there is some gang activity, crime activity. And yet it's not people robbing people, and it's not racial, It's usually gang kids shooting each other. Hmm. And so we in no way have felt threatened ourselves, and we want to encourage you that your kids, we believe, will be very safe. We want to encourage you to pray for them, pray for us. But the opportunity for them to just come and love on kids and us is just awesome. Yeah. We had a group from Minneapolis come last summer, and it just turned out great. It was life-changing for some of them. So we really are welcoming you. We covet your prayers, and we're just excited. Mark didn't tell you that I baptized him, and I performed their wedding, and Andrew's still smiling today. So
I think both of them have stuck pretty good. Now, here's the deal. Tom did officiate our wedding, and Tom did baptize me. But I will tell you this, that the thing that was most influential about our relationship was the heart that I saw in you. No doubt, the heart that Tom has for people who don't know Jesus changed my heart. That is the number one thing. We were friends. You helped me solidify the most important earthly relationship that I will ever have. You baptized me, were a part of all of that. But the thing that changed my life was your heart for people who don't know Jesus, and that rubbed off. Now, as I was thinking about today and thinking about what do we talk about, we both kind of discussed it, and we said Luke 15 shows what we're calling the heart of the Father. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. And those questions that we said this morning is, what do you think God's heart is for people who don't know him? And then what is our heart for those same folks? And so if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Luke 15. We're going to go through this chapter very quickly, but I think this chapter gives God's heart.
And while you're turning, I just wanted to tell you a couple stories about being lost. First, when I pastored over in Duluth in 1991, and my son was in second grade, and I lost him in the mall. And you as parents, you know that feeling. Panic, rage, desperation. Then another time, some of you relate to this better. That's, I lost something, my son. And another time in Canada where I pastored in here, I've hunted for years, but I've never shot anything. So I love sitting around the fire talking and eating or sitting in the trees.
I heard you can't catch fish either. Some real fishermen took him fishing. He couldn't even catch with them. So praise the Lord. I can't catch fish.
He hooked it, gave me the pole, and I still lost it. Yep, so anyway. Yep.
You can't even catch it when it's on the hook, man.
But let me tell you another story. I was hunting in Canada, and you know, I don't really, I say I like hunting, but I like going out with the guys and eating and just being with people. And I was out with some friends that weren't Christians, and so I tried to act like I was a hunter, but about 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a day that was about 10 degrees above zero, and I usually kind of stayed pretty close to the fire, but this day I had been with some guys and we went down a power line, and all of a sudden I realized I was lost.
You're lost.
I was lost.
Yeah.
And it's about 10 degrees going to below zero. You know, I had brought my safety equipment, a candy bar, and an apple.
And you didn't bring an apple.
You brought
two candy bars.
Anyway, the panic.
You were lost.
I was lost.
It's scary.
And I thought about dying. I mean, it got to be about 4, 4:30. It was starting to get dark. I was already freezing, and the sun was just going down.
Right.
And I realized, this is not where I want to be. And one of the sad things in life, many people don't realize they're lost.
Right.
And for a long time, I didn't think I was lost either. Oh, the fire's right over here. I went right over there, and the fire wasn't there.
Right.
And then I heard some shots, and I thought, well, I'll go towards the shots. And then there was another shot the other way. Right. I was almost in tears, yeah. Probably a 35-year-old city kid in Manitoba. And just the panic was the same panic as when I lost my son. And one other story, I noticed some people get metal detectors. My wife does not need one. We'll be walking anywhere and all of a sudden she's gone. She saw a nickel on the ground. And I don't know if it was her upbringing. She grew up in the Robert Taylor homes, 30,000 people crammed into buildings that were built for 3,000 people.
Wow.
She has 12 brothers and sisters. But I tell you, she can spot any coin in a 50-foot radius.
We're going to read a story about
that's
her.
Right.
Okay,
right.
So we're going to read this chapter about lost things. And I think what you said is powerful because many people, I think, are lost spiritually and they don't even realize it. Don't even realize it. Don't even know. Maybe know something isn't right. Something isn't settled. There's a hole. There's a gap. But don't realize, and this is going to be a story of three lost things that tells one story, and the story is the heart of the Father. That's what we want to get at this morning. What is God's heart for the lost? Okay, so let's start. Luke 15, we're going to read the first part. This is the lost sheep, a lost little sheep, like you out in the woods, a lost sheep in blaze orange.
Helpless.
Helpless, okay. We're going to get closer and closer with each one of these three stories to the very heart of God. The lost sheep, Luke 15, 1-7. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. See, the cool thing was tax collectors were immoral people and sinners were sinners. And they were attracted to Jesus. That's an important realization that we have to understand. The lost loved Jesus. He was attractive to them. I think that we should be as well. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, the religious people, right? Religious people of the day were grumbling. This man receives sinners and he eats with them. They were complaining about who Jesus was hanging with. Wait, they're not like us. They don't do the right things. And the religious folks were complaining and whining about that. Not them. They're not righteous like us. So he told them this parable. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.
Amen.
Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. This heart of the Father that's willing to go and to leave. What do you love about that, Thomas?
I love the fact that in the beginning of the story, Jesus hung out with sinners.
Yeah.
And as I'd pastored over the years, many people would say, Tom, can't you find people outside our church that are like us to come? And once you've been in church for just a few years, hopefully you're a little different than people outside. But hopefully you can still love them. But anyway, Jesus is concerned. That's one of the things I love about our center in South Chicago. We have prostitutes, we have murderers, we have drug addicts, and they all come. And I've never been in a church. And I tried to make a church attractive to sinners. And I love what you folks are going to do over on the hillside because I believe it's going to be a place that is attractive to sinners.
Yeah.
And there's something about true Christianity that is attractive to sinners.
Right.
Gandhi once said, if Christians would act like Jesus, I would become a Christian.
Mm.
That's a challenge to all of us.
Yeah.
And I think all of us, if we would act like Christ, your church would be like this every week, and you'd have 4 or 5 services.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Okay. You'll notice, of the three stories, Mark took the 2 good ones.
Yeah.
And they said, you take the one about the coin. But anyway, all right. It's all right.
Come on. Now let's talk about story number 2. This is the lost coin. This is your bride here.
Yeah.
Okay. So go ahead and read this one.
He told me I could read it on the screen, so I didn't bring my Bible up.
Okay. Go.
Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost. Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one who repents.
Okay, what I love about this is it says...
Did I ask you?
No, you didn't have to. Listen to this and let this sink in, please. Every life has value. Every life has value. In our culture, where we live, whether it is in Superior, Wisconsin or Chicago, Illinois, there is an attack on the value of life. And this is saying every single life, it's a coin, it's valuable. Every single life from God's heart has value and it is worth it. Yeah, your turn.
Thank you.
Yeah.
In my life, three things I was a part of starting. One, we took mentally challenged young people, adults, out of institutions in Canada, got them in foster homes, and got them jobs. Awesome. It's today a multi-million dollar business, about 100 participants, still going on. Secondly, we had a lot of Native Americans in our church in Canada, and many struggled with addictions. One of the fellows in the church said, let's buy a motel, fill it up with, we eventually sold it to Teen Challenge. And what we're doing now, God has just given me a heart for the lost. And the one word I like in there, and I think is important for us, she lit a lamp, she swept the house, and seeked diligently until she found it.
Yeah.
Just
it wasn't a halfway search.
It was diligent.
It was diligent. And I think sometimes as the church, we go into a project and we go halfway. And we don't search diligently and seek and go out and pursue because of the value of every single individual
life. Right. She could have said, I've got 9 other coins. Right. I'm probably going to survive.
Right.
That one coin.
Yeah.
And I live with someone who seeks that one coin. And I tell you, you've got to have that in seeking the lost.
Right.
You know, I get a kick out of churches. They say, everyone welcome. Do you know what that means? Nothing.
We have that on our sign.
For a while I was... Do you?
Yeah, you're making me feel worse and worse about things, Tom. Glad you're here.
There are a lot better ways to say it than put it on a sign. And your life usually does it. Your pursuit, your diligence.
You know, this reminded me of this verse from Matthew 5. You are, Jesus telling us, you are the light of the world. So let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works. Mm-hmm. Let your light shine so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven.
Amen.
That defines your work. You're doing good works. You're feeding. You're providing jobs. I'm hanging out with these young people. It was awesome. And it was really cool to get to know and hear their stories, see their hearts. Your good works have shined down into this part of the world, and now others are giving glory to God.
Amen.
Yeah, so we are to be a light. So second thing is every life has value. Third story.
Hold it.
Go ahead.
The first two, and we're going to see it in the third, is the ability of rejoicing in the lost being found, whether it's a sheep, a coin, or a son. And I'm afraid many of us as Christians somehow have lost the ability to rejoice. And in a demonstrative, you know, we went to the Sox game. We went to the Sox game last year, and during one of the games, one of the kids that was supposed to come with us was shot. And I went to his dad. They called me, and I said, Mark, your son, they just called, and your son's been shot. He said, I want to keep watching the game. And he had told his son not to be doing what he's doing, get off the street. But like 2 minutes later, there was a home run. And he was up cheering. And I couldn't understand it. But he knew how to rejoice in that run.
Yeah.
And when someone comes, and when someone comes to your church for the first time, when these people get baptized, I'm going to be, you know, if I wasn't a conservative Scandinavian by background, I would be shouting.
Wait, you think you're conservative?
Compared to my wife. Compared to these kids.
Man, whatever. Okay.
I don't know how, and I'm learning.
Right. To rejoice.
To rejoice. And without a shameness, celebrate.
Right.
And when these people take that public confession of Jesus.
Let's celebrate it.
Heaven.
See, every one of these is celebration over one.
Yes.
This is not, I think we've gotten to this American mindset, which is we only celebrate if 100 come to know Jesus, or 1,000 came to know Christ, or no. One.
Amen. When it's you.
One. When it's you, one is the right number. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, we celebrate over one. Amen. Okay, the lost son. This gets to the ultimate heart of the Father. This is the most intimate story of giving us God's heart for those who are lost. And all of us are in that place at one time or another. And he said, there was a man who had 2 sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that is coming to me. And that is an ultimate insult. You don't ask for the share of the property until your father is dead. And so this was insulting, saying, Dad, you're as good as dead to me. Give me what I want, as though he was dead. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and he took a journey into a far country where he squandered his property on reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country and he began to be in need. One of the things that is so true about this is many times when we are wandering, when we are lost, it's a combination of two things. It's bad choices and unfortunate bad circumstances that are out of our control. Many times we package this, but there was a severe famine and bad choices. We need to understand there's a larger picture going on for most folks who find themselves in a bad position. So he went, verse 15, and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. Now, verse 17 is the key. Boy, this is so important. Everybody has to get to this place. But when he came to himself, some translations will say, when he came to his senses, when he realized, what am I doing? I want more. We all have to get to that place where we realize, what am I doing? What are these choices that I'm making ultimately doing? When he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. See, we all come to Jesus humbly, or we don't come at all. We don't come to Jesus with everything thinking we got it all going. No, we come to Jesus humbly. I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly. Wait. I skipped some verses, didn't I? What verse am I on? Tell me. 19. Okay, good. I am no longer worthy. Oh, this is his practice session. He's practicing his speech. I fast forwarded to the speech. All right, 19. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. Yeah, we don't want to miss this part, do we? But while he was still a long way off, look at this, the heart of the father. His father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. See, that is the ultimate picture of the father and his heart. Now, we don't see this in here, but I think it's implied that the father's heart, while the son was off in his reckless living, the father's heart was breaking. Now, some of you folks feel like prodigal parents at times, and your heart breaks when your kid is off doing things that they shouldn't be doing. And this is giving God's heart that says when we're off doing things that maybe we shouldn't be doing, God's heart is breaking. But then we make one turn, one come to our senses, and God sees and he runs. The only time in Scripture, I think, that it says God ran. So God ran, still a long way off, Father saw him, felt compassion, ran and embraced him and kissed him. Verse 21, and the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat. And what does the last word on that slide say? Celebrate. See, this is a day to party because we're understanding the heart of the Father. Amen. The heart of the Father is every person that trusts in Jesus Christ is a reason to celebrate. Amen?
Amen.
See, that's celebration.
Hold it.
Yeah.
Everyone who comes to the Father is a reason to celebrate. I heard. Amen.
Oh.
Woo! Isn't that right? I mean, that's what our response should be.
Yeah. But you do know you are in Superior, Wisconsin.
Okay.
But get us cranked up. It's okay. All right, verse 24. And here he's going to re-give the reason why we celebrate like this. For this, my son was dead and is alive again, spiritually dead. He was lost and is found. And they again began to celebrate. Now, this is the struggle. He's going to respond now, and he's going to give the heart of the second son, which is really answering the question of the Pharisees' grumblings. Because the second son is what the Pharisees were grumbling about. And now he's going to give the thing that we as people who've maybe been in church for a while need to work with at times. And we need to think about at times. He's going to give the second son. Because he had two lost sons. It was just a matter of when they were lost. Look at where should we go here? Verse 25, now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, He heard the music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked him what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in, and his father came out and entreated him. See, the father's love is just as much, his heart beats just as much for the Pharisees as he does for the lost son. God's heart is the same for every person. Amen. Every person. He loves them all. But he answered his father, verse 29, look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. See, he doesn't understand the heart of the father. He doesn't get that it's relationship, not simply obedience. The heart of the father. But when this son of yours came, wouldn't even call him his brother, who has devoured your property with prostitutes. You get specific about the other guy's sin, right? That's easy to do.
You notice the other guy's sins are always worse than yours.
Yeah.
I've noticed that.
Yeah. Plank eye disease. You killed the fattened calf for him. And now look at the heart of the father for the other son. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. Everything that I have is still yours. I have more than enough for him and for you.
Amen.
I have enough because you are my son, the same as he is my son. And he loved both sons equally. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.
Amen.
Yeah. The heart of the father is to celebrate over every single one.
I just want to interject a very sad, sad part of this story. The brother's failure to celebrate. How many of you have been in church, born again, experienced a relationship with Jesus more than 20 years? Okay, many of us. And many of us not. That's exciting. Faith and I are tremendous recipients of the grace of God. We are completely dependent. We have screwed up our lives. I'd been married 35 years, got divorced. Faith had her own struggles that she'll choose to tell you when she wants. But we are standing here today as recipients of the amazing grace of Jesus. My own brother, whom I love, I went to him a year or two ago and I said, John, you know, and he's a missionary in Mexico, been there over 40 years. Mark and Andrew, we went to Mexico. And I tell you, in the height of the recession was not a good time to get divorced. I lost my house. I went bankrupt. Some of you know that pain and those problems. I had Christians who had known me for years and they just abandoned me. My dad became sick with Alzheimer's, came to live with us. And I went to my brother and I said, John, I said, I've fallen on hard times. I made a mess of my life. I lost my home. I went bankrupt. I lost everything I had. And you know what he said? He said, I didn't do that. You did. He's inherited money and his wife. God has been good to him. And I supported him for 35 years. Every month I made out that check and mailed it to him. He said, Tom, your problems aren't mine. And the breaking of my heart, not to mention my wallet, but him telling me that my problems were the result of my sin, which they were. But I tell you, I've got other friends who said, Tom, we realize you're doing what God wants you to do now and that you didn't control it. You know, I was selling real estate and I went from making, with my ex-wife, we were making about $200,000 a year, to making $25,000 a year. That's tough. It's tough what we do now, but we're excited because our trust is in God. But when you see a brother who comes back and is following God, and sometimes our grace and our mercy is for the first-time believer, but you need to give it to the believer. America is filled with Christians who have stopped going to church, with Christians who have been hurt at church, with Christians who have just fallen into hard times, and the church has not been a good place for healing. Every person that comes through those doors,
love them.
Celebrate.
Love them.
Love them.
Celebrate. The heart of the Father is pictured in this heart that was just waiting just waiting for the son to turn, the slightest turn, and it said the father ran.
Amen.
The slightest little indication, maybe this son is coming back home. And the father ran to him. We are going to, Dave Schultz is going to come up, and he's going to sing a song that really is written in response to this text, and really in response to the heart of the father to run to us. Now let's all, as he sings this, and it's a beautiful song, as he sings this, let's think of how God ran to us. Let's imagine the time when we made that turn, whenever that was, whether that was 20, 30 years ago, or whether that was 2 to 3 minutes ago. When we turned to Jesus, God ran. And I want you to think and appreciate and celebrate God running to you in your time of need. Dave, sing this song for us, please. Thank you.
I am immovable rock, omnipotent, powerful, awesome Lord, victorious warrior, commanding King of Kings, mighty conqueror, and the only time, the only time I am. Him run. So when he ran to me, he took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, my son's come home again, lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes, with forgiveness in his voice, he said, son, do you know I still love you? He caught me. My son's coming. wiped the tears from my eyes. With forgiveness in his voice, he said, son. He called me son. He said, son, do you know I still love
When God ran, we need to realize God's heart is like a father who, when his son simply turns, will run to you and to I. God runs to us. Dave, thank you. You can fish and you can sing. That's pretty cool. God will leave the 99 to come and get us when we wander like a good shepherd. He will leave. He will shine his light into our dark world when we can't see the way. He will shine his light, and he will patiently wait for us when it's time for us, when we need to come to our senses and turn back to him. Luke 15 shows us how we can now reflect the heart of the Father. Three stories, one overall heart. Number one, with the lost sheep, we go. To reflect the heart of the Father, we have to be willing to go, to leave the comfortable, to leave the 99, to go into all of the world and make disciples. We go when we, and then we reflect the heart of the Father. Number two, with the lost coin, we shine. We let our good works shine before men. We let people see the good things that we do, and we let that then be something that shines the light of Jesus, so then they give glory to God. Number three, with the lost sons, we celebrate. We remember every single life is worth celebrating. Amen? Amen. Every single life. So we go, we shine, and then we celebrate. And that's what we're doing this morning. You know, these three stories, if you look into them, they share the gospel. Jesus was willing to go. He let his light shine. His heart broke on the cross, and then he celebrated on the third day. Luke 15 again shows the gospel of what Jesus did for you and me. Now, maybe you're here this morning and you've never received that gift. Let today be the day of your salvation. Let today be the day when you trust that Jesus Christ took your sin upon himself. I'm going to pray in just a moment. And if you've never received Jesus, let me encourage you, trust in him. Rely upon that gift of salvation that Christ took your place, your sin upon himself and died. Let today be the day that you receive the eternal life that's afforded by Jesus. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. God, we thank you that we have seen a bit of your heart this morning. I thank you for my brother Tom and sister Faith and all of these wonderful young people who are here celebrating with us. And I thank you, God, specifically for the heart of my friend that impacted my heart for lost folks. Lord, I thank you that we are all at one point lost, and so we can all relate to this. And yet, Jesus, you came and you saved us. And I pray that if there's anyone here this morning that has not received that gift, God, that today would be the day of their salvation. That they would trust in you alone, Christ. Turn from a life that is all about them, a life of sin, a life of selfishness. Turn and looking unto you alone, Jesus, for their salvation. And we thank you today for that. God, I pray that you would now bless this time that we have to celebrate with those who are following you, Christ, in baptism. We pray your blessing upon this time. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Everybody said, so we are going to have a baptism service, and we are going to see beautifully, powerfully pictured the death of Christ and then the resurrection of Christ in water baptism. If you are being baptized this morning, when we start to sing this song, this final song, just make your way to the back, work your way around, and we will get prepared to celebrate with all of these folks who are following Jesus in this way. So Paul, lead us in a song this morning. Thank you. Oh, good. We got the kids all up front. That's awesome. Anybody else that wants to come forward and get a real close view, or if you want to take little photos, just feel free to come on forward, and you can be as close as you want. We are here today, and I hope we communicated this. This is a day to celebrate. Amen? Amen. See, in baptism is it's a powerful picture of folks who are saying, I am following Jesus in the way that Christ died and was raised to new life. We are now following Christ and saying, my life now is because of him. And it is because of what Christ did and dying to myself and following Christ, living now for him. So it's a powerful picture. And those who do baptism was designed to be a public picture. So it was designed to be something that others participated in, because baptism is a very encouraging thing. And it's a day to celebrate. So let's see. I don't know who our first. Okay.
Send them out.
Let's see. Oh, okay. And all right, come on down here there, sweetie. Let's see. There we go. All right, now what is your name?
Anna.
Anna what?
Stanley.
Anna Stanley. Keep holding. That's good for you. Anna Stanley, have you trusted in Jesus for your salvation?
Yes.
Wonderful, Anna. And you want to be baptized today, right?
Yes.
Okay, let's do this. Anna? Oh, you don't want to. Yeah. Anna?
Yes?
Today, because you've trusted in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, we baptize you now in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, number two. Oh, Emmett, come on. Where's your robe, man? You decided not to. No problem. Come on, we're flexible. I don't think they had robes in the New Testament either, so you're all good. Can you guys see Emmett? You can see him? Yeah, okay, they can see you. All right. Share your name with everybody, please.
I'm Emmett.
Your last name?
Christensen.
Oh, Emmett Christensen. All right, Emmett, have you trusted in Jesus for your salvation?
Yes.
Awesome. We're going to baptize you, Emmett. Emmett, because you've trusted in Jesus for your salvation, we baptize you now in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We got some young people following Jesus, amen? Hopefully this is a life of following Christ. All right, number three. Oh, and another young person. Come on down, Aria.
Hi.
Hi, we're excited to be part of this day with you today. Okay, share your name with everybody, please.
My name is Aria.
Your last name?
Wright.
Aria Wright. Aria, I know the answer to this, but tell us, have you trusted in Jesus to save you from your sins?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Aria has a wonderful story of God's redemption and his work and his healing.
You can say that.
He is amazing.
He is amazing. Yeah. Aria, we're excited to baptize you today.
Yeah.
All right. Aria, because you've trusted in Jesus, it is our honor to baptize you this morning in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Right, number four. Well, good afternoon. How are you today?
Good.
Come on over. We know this guy pretty well in our family. What's your name there, young man?
Graham Tanner.
Graham Tanner. We're very excited, Graham. Have you trusted in Jesus this morning for your salvation?
Yes.
All right. We're going to be excited to baptize you then, Graham. Graham Tanner, because you have trusted in Jesus Christ and your desire to follow him, we now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You know, we're Baptists, so we got to make sure full immersion happens, right? And yeah, some resist. All right, Jayhan. Come on down here. This is my new friend, Pastor Tom. Come, yeah.
You're going to break
your glasses there, my friend. Pastor Tom, hang on. He's going to pray for Jayhan. You guys can all come up if you'd like. Come on and celebrate. With this new friend of ours and an older friend of yours. So, Pastor Tom, pray for him, please.
Jayhan just came probably 6 months ago. Hasn't been the center much, but we pick him up every Sunday. He goes to church and plays basketball with us. Then when school came out, went to his graduation. But he jumps like that. And I used to do cartwheels, but in my present condition, I've foregone that. But Jayhan, when I said we're coming up here, the activities, and there's a baptism service, he leaned over and said to me, Tom, can I get baptized? No pushing, no encouragement. He just said, I want to get baptized. He leaves for Arizona in a couple weeks, and I just said, sure you can. And Jayhan has shown tremendous leadership ability and devotion to school and succeeding. And I believe God has his hand on Jayhan's life in a special way. And I just... I'm so excited today. I'll pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for Jayhan. Lord, we just pray that this day, because of your work in his life, there would be another step closer to you. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to meet him to bless us. This day, we ask for a special blessing in his life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jayhan, just share with everybody, if you would, your full name.
Jayhan Woods.
Jayhan Woods. Jayhan, have you trusted in Jesus to save you from your sin and give you a life eternal with him?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. We're going to baptize you, my friend. Jayhan Woods, because of your confession of faith, trusting in Jesus, your desire to follow him, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, his Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. It's a day to celebrate, amen? Not sure if I said that yet. Oh, Ronnie, come on. We can help you.
Would you please tell us your full name?
My first given name is Veronica Lou Smith.
Veronica, and we call her Ronnie. Ronnie, do you believe in Jesus Christ, that he has saved you from your sins, and your faith in Christ, it will bring you to heaven with God?
Yes.
Upon that confession, we're now going to baptize you.
You don't even need to worry. We got you.
Okay. Based on your confession, now we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Congratulations, Ronnie. Congratulate her after the service today. For some, this is a bigger step for other reasons. Congratulate her and tell her you're proud of the step that she made in following Christ. Tim, come on. Hey, good afternoon. Would you share with everyone your full name, please?
Tim Schultz.
Tim, have you trusted in Jesus alone to save you from your sin and give you a hope of heaven forever?
Yes, I have.
That's awesome. We're going to baptize you.
Let's go up for a little bit.
Tim, my brother. Because you've trusted in Jesus Christ, we baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and His Holy Spirit.
That's a big boy, I'm not going to lie to you. Yeah, we were thinking three of us might be needed at that point. All right, let's go.
Oh, awesome, come on down. Hi, would you share with everyone your full name, please?
Katie Johnson.
Katie, have you trusted in Jesus exclusively to save you from your sin?
Yes.
That's awesome. Well, it's our privilege to baptize you this morning.
Katie, because you've trusted in Christ and you have a hope that now resides within you as an anchor for your soul that you will be with Him one day, we baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
We're getting fully immersed too, aren't we, my friend? Oh, come on down. Awesome. This is an exciting day for this young man. Would you please share with everybody your full name?
Jonah Johnson.
Jonah, this is awesome. We're excited. Have you trusted Jonah in Jesus alone to save you?
Yes.
That's cool. We're going to baptize you now.
Jonah, because you've trusted in Christ and your hope is in Him alone, we baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
No cannonballs, no cannonballs. All right, share your name, please.
Ron Herman.
Mr. Ron Herman, I know the answer to this because I've seen it in your life, and I've seen Jesus in the process of changing you like He's changing me. So, Ron Herman, have you trusted in Christ for your salvation?
Yes, just a little bit.
Or a lot of it. That's awesome.
says, Ron Herman, we baptize you because you've trusted in Jesus this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hey, Mark. Good morning.
Good morning.
Share your name with people, please.
Mark Cardo.
Yeah, Mark, have you trusted in Jesus as the only hope you have to be with God forever one day?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. We're going to baptize you, brother.
Mark Cardo, because you have trusted in Jesus, and he is your hope, we baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit.
You know him, right? Come on. This is the nervous half of this couple. Maya, I've known you for quite a while. And, share your name, please.
Maya Cardo.
Maya Cardo. Maya, have you trusted in Jesus as your only hope of salvation?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. We're going to baptize you this morning.
Maya Lisa Cardo, because you've trusted in Christ, and he is your hope and your anchor, we baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Oh, my goodness. I think you got this one.
All right. Can you share with us your name, please?
Garrison.
What's your last name?
Bush.
This is my son. If you're new here, I cry a lot. Garrison, I know I've asked you this before and I know the answer, but have you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior to save you from your sins?
Yes.
Upon your confession, we're now going to baptize you.
All right, buddy. Garrison Bush, because of your confession in Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
I believe that's it. Yeah, we didn't think Pastor Tom could make another one after that. Stand with us, please. I think we got one chorus before we celebrate a little bit. Has this been a good day? Amen.